Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Beth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio, thanks for joining us. Laura will be back with us in a little bit. We'll get into some entertainment news in a while as well. But we kick off the 9 o'clock hour on this Thursday the way we like to with our good friends from the Southland County Humane Society. We have Denise with us. Denise, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for being here. We love talking with our friends at the Humane Society and being able to feature a pet of the week. We'll get to that in a moment, but how are things going over at the shop?
Excellent. They're closing in the front lobby part, so they're making huge progress on our new renovations, and we're very excited. It's kind of topsy-turvy in there, but we're making it work.
Feel for you and the staff when it comes to those things, but especially this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys seem to be rolling with it really well.
We are. We have very adaptable staff, and taking care of the animals is number one priority, no matter what, you know, whether the heat goes up or down or we have leaks. They're making it work.
Speaking of taking care of the animals, are there any kind of needs, any things that we can do to help out over there? Anything in particular?
As usual, you know, the food, the litter. We're good on blankets. We don't need any more dog blankets right now. We're really low on cat population, so we're headed more towards the dog side and their needs. Any kind of hard food, wet food for dogs, if you have extra, drop it on down.
Appreciate that, and certainly appreciate the work that you guys are doing over there. It betters our community. This time of year, Denise, we always like to remind people too that your furry friends out there, those paws on the bottom of their they're not as capable of these things as we are.
Right,
you wouldn't walk outside barefoot right now.
Nope,
nobody would do that. And you're asking your animal to do that basically.
Yep.
So with that in mind, they got to do their business, of course, so you let them do their thing, but you get them inside as quick as possible.
They do, yeah. It's they have to take them out for walks, but they keep them very small or very short, and when the wind is blowing, they try to walk them in the covered runs that we have instead of taking them out in the wind. And it's all about watching your pet. You know, if they're lifting their paws up or if they're starting to whine and stop, bring them back in the house. That means they're in pain and they don't like it.
Right.
My fur brother, Sam, who we got from the Humane Society, is I feel like one of the best dogs I've ever known at this. Sam is efficient. He's out there, and as soon as he's done, he's right at my leg. He's like, okay, let's go back in. Like, you don't have to worry about that. I don't even need a leash for him. He ain't running away. This dog knows where his treats are.
When it's cold, yeah, they know.
And that's important to keep in mind, I think, with them. And while this is more of a summer problem, I think people are more in tune with this in the summer. It can be the same issue in the winter, just a little bit different. When you're traveling, if you don't need to bring your pet, don't bring your pet.
Right.
Don't leave them in the car.
Right.
None of that. I can't think of many scenarios where you have to bring your animal with you.
Right.
I know that we like to do this where, but he likes to go for rides. No, what they like is the smells. What the animals don't like is their feet being off the ground. They feel a very center from the planet. You know why your dog does all this bopping around and running in circles and everything? And why don't you just stop and do your thing? Well, they try to find the center of the universe, actually, the planet, I should say, right, Denise?
Yep, that's why they spin in circles before they go to the bathroom. They got to find the right spot and be centered and... Yeah, that's very true.
First off, let's all just take a pause and be thankful that that's not how human beings are.
Can you imagine?
I don't do a 360 before I sit down on the toilet. Man, I don't.
Our bathrooms would look a lot different.
It would.
But more importantly, it's something to keep in mind with these animals. And as far as like rushing them when they're outdoors, they're going as fast as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're traveling, don't bring them if you don't have to.
Right.
Certainly.
Right.
There are a lot of great options for that to do. Denise, I have dragged this out and made the audience wait long enough. Who is our pet of the week?
I'm going to highlight Axel again. She's a little tiny girl. It says 44 pounds on the website, but she's not 44 pounds. She's very small. I would say between 20 and 30 pounds. She's a lover. She loves all people. Very friendly. The only problem with Axel is she's dog aggressive and cat aggressive because of her background. So she needs to be in the single pet in the home, and I wouldn't recommend her being a dog park dog unless she's, you know, but she'd be a great companion for somebody that's older, take her for, you know, short walks or one that doesn't go outside much. She's very lovable and affectionate. She just doesn't get along well with other dogs and cats.
She sounds like a lot of people I know.
Oh, yeah.
I say that jokingly and with some love, but also that means that she's got a good match out there.
Right.
Exactly. Hopefully. Yeah, she is just the sweetest dog, and she's very tiny. The pictures don't do her justice. Yeah. She's a tiny little one of those wiggle butt girls.
Oh, she's a lap dog.
She is. She is. Yeah.
She is very much a lap dog. Yeah. Oh, look at those ears.
So if you're looking for a companion, make an appointment to come in and see Axel. We have to have an approved application before we meet dogs at this time of year, unfortunately. So if you're interested, give us a call or go on the website.
With Axel, too, it seems like she may not get along that great with other dogs or people, but she's just saving all that love for her new best friend,
and
her
she
new
does,
partner.
Too. So, she's so sweet with people. That's why I've never seen her other side, and it's like, I want this dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, like all the animals that we feature, she has all of her shots and everything.
Yep,
she's microchipped.
Yep, microchipped and spayed. She's ready to go.
And as long as we're talking about that, I should mention as well those services don't come easy, and we're very thankful to the community, to people who donate, and certainly to the work that is put into the funding of that, being able to have every animal chipped that is so unique.
Absolutely,
it's more common now, but it really still is unique to me that happens, and it's such a consistent thing now.
Yeah, it wasn't a consistent thing 10, 20 years ago, and now we're kind of finally getting a handle on it, and it helps us, manage the population of animals in the world.
So how old is Axel?
Two. She's
two.
A baby. They guesstimate by looking at their
teeth.
She's
a teenager.
Pretty much. Yeah, she's a youngin', but just full of life and loves people.
So not the puppy yet.
Not the puppy. I haven't seen it, but I don't spend a lot of time with
Axel
because I don't want to get attached to her because she's so sweet.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just looking at her photos and I'm already attached.
Yeah,
I'm already, I know. It's too late. I'm locked in. Yep. She's a mixed breed, a beautiful tan. Coat and one of the cutest smiles, greatest smiles. That's a beautiful dog.
Yeah, she's very little.
She's just awesome. Yeah. Check out Axel, everybody. You might have your new best friend just waiting for you over at the Southwick County Humane Society. Denise, we really do appreciate the time, especially a day like this, coming into the studio and everything. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for that and all the work you're putting into this. Say hi to the staff for us, and we will hang out again next Thursday.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your support and having us here. Thank you, Wisconsin Rapids community, too. We could not do it without you.
Mm-hmm. We want you to find out about Axel. You can do that by going to swchs.com, swchs.com. You can also email them if you'd like, office@swchs.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. You can also stop by, check out 3621 64th Street North. That's where they are. And, of course, their Facebook page is a great resource to message them to find out more information. And probably not even, Denise, a bad idea to check in before stopping by.
Yeah, we have a construction going on. It's a little confusing. So if you need us, call us. We'll guide you right there. We'll even meet you out on the road and bring you in.
Appreciate that. I appreciate you. Good to see you. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. We'll be back with entertainment news and more right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Hope y'all are having a good Thursday out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Indeed.
Big thank you to Denise and our friends over at the Southwick County Humane Society. Find out about Axel and all the great animals over there at Southwick County Humane Society's website, swchs.com. Be listening every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour for this. And, of course, to all you businesses out there, you want a great chance to make some money, go ahead and market with us and feature, whether it is the Pet of the Week or the Kitchen's Open that Beth does or any of our other great shows around here. We're looking for sponsors, and one of the better marketing things you can do. Reach out to Ashley, reach out to me. We will get you a part of the team. We'd look forward to working with all of you. Let's go ahead and dive into some entertainment news. And I had a couple of stories lined up for us today, but then the Oscar nominations broke a little bit earlier than expected. I was told that they were going to break around noon Eastern time today, so actually a lot earlier than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to kind of breaking news here a little bit and dive into the 2025 Oscar nominations.
Sure.
And I say this jokingly too much, so it's a little bit of boy cries wolf, but journalistically, and I actually do have to mention that I do get to vote on these things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I have to mention mention that, otherwise I get in quite a bit of trouble, as I found out the first year I did this.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very stern email. I still have it saved, too. I saved it.
Well, journalistically, I do not.
So,
neither do I.
And keep in mind, you are not going to know most of these movies.
Okay.
Well, and that's pretty fair. I think that's pretty fair.
I think 10 years ago is when I saw the last new movie, which was The Force Awakens. So, like...
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. So for Best Picture this year, Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked.
Okay. How many movies are nominated now?
They knocked it up to 10 like 10 years ago or something like that.
Oh, that's 10 of them.
When the Oscar ratings tanked, when Billy Crystal stopped hosting, basically, and the Oscar ratings tanked, they thought their genius idea, and I know I'm biting the hand that feeds me here a little bit, but I got to be honest with you guys in the audience. The brilliant idea was to include pop movies more. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you saw Transformers being in there for Best Picture when all of us knew that was never going to win or anything. Or Dune 2 this year. Yes, Laura. Yeah.
And I get that. But to have 10? That just seems like...
Well, I'm pulling for The Brutalist, personally, just because I really like the actor.
I'll tell you right now, I think that The Brutalist is going to have some upsets in there, because I think a lot of people would like to see more of the poppy, happier movies, like Wicked or something like that, when The Brutalist is too important of a movie not to win. But I'm not going to argue with any of these, outside of maybe... look, Dune Part 2 was beautiful. It's a really cool and well-done movie.
Wicked.
Now, I will say the difference for me in those, Wicked was so well, it's such an overall movie, where Dune was a little more for a certain audience.
Right.
And in the popularity of Wicked, if it wins Best Picture, I ain't going to argue about that. Like, I'm not going to get upset about that. I think that makes sense. Dune 2, while I like the movie more, I would actually be like, well, that ain't right. Like, that don't make sense to me. Best Director, pretty much the same thing with the people that were nominated there. Sean Baker for Anora. Bradley Corbett from The Brutalist, James Mangold, A Complete Unknown, Jacques Audor for Amelia Perez, and Coralia Fogart for The Substance. I would like to see more, a little more representation there, but that is what it is. It's been the Oscars forever. Best Leading Actor, Adrian Brody with The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet with A Complete Unknown, Colleen Domingo with Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes with Conclave, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice. A little bit of an interesting nod there at the end with Sebastian Stan, but not if you've been paying attention, because he is much more than the Winter Soldier.
Well,
this guy has been pushing himself and actually doing something that his agent and some people have kind of given him a little bit of heat for, where it seems like he's not saying no to anything. He's just saying yes to different projects. Mm-hmm. He's working a lot, but it's not that he's not saying yes to everything. It's that, this is a very weird role. I'll play Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee from Motley Crue.
Right.
Oh, this is weird. I'll play Donald Trump in The Apprentice. Like, he's doing these things and pushing himself in directions that, honestly, I think are kind of brave for a guy who's still trying to keep his career going. You know, you get that Marvel money, and you can be a little more brave with your career, I think. I admire it.
He's doing the what's the name of the guy from The Lord of the Rings?
Orlando Bloom?
No. Yes.
Viggo Mortensen?
Sure. I was talking about Frodo. But he does the same thing, right? He's got that Lord of the Rings Elijah Wood. Thank you. He's got the Lord of the Rings money coming in, so he's doing what he wants to do. And good for Sebastian Stan for doing the same thing.
Right.
That's the way to do it, honestly.
Colleen Domingo is one of the more underrated actors out there. Ralph Fiennes is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I believe he has won an Oscar before.
He has.
But this is really a two-horse race between Timothy Chalamet and A Complete Unknown playing Bob Dylan and Adrian Brody playing The Brutalist. I consider us friends, Pete Schwabe and I, and I support Pete, and I encourage you to check out his show every night when we are not playing high school sports or something like that. And I appreciate Pete having me on our show, on his show. He'll be on Director's Playhouse with us very soon here. We've already worked that out. Mm-hmm. I could not disagree with him more, because I heard him the other day say that Adrian Brody could go down as the worst two Oscar winner ever.
Hard disagree. I love Adrian Brody.
First up, I got to say, and I'm going to make some people angry here, but I would throw out there Hilary Swank. I'm still shocked that she won two. And it's nothing against her as an actor. It's just the two roles she won for and the nominees that were up that year, I didn't think she was the best in the categories. Mm-hmm. But Adrian Brody, while he's done some bad movies, his performances are not bad. I went back and after I heard Pete say that, I was like, well, let me go ahead and test this. So I go back and I watch this movie, Predators, that Reba Rodriguez was part of and stuff. And it's just a spinoff of the Predators movies. Mm-hmm. And it's a cheap action flick with not a very good script. Adrian Brody gives you 1,000% in that movie. Yeah. Like, he's like, to him, that's Shakespeare that he's doing. Like, it doesn't matter the like the words on the page, he's going to give you everything he's got.
He does Shakespeare in everything.
My God, he's a good actor. So, I was violent about that when I heard that. I was like, what are you talking about? Nope. And I think that any day now, Timothy Chalamet is going to win an Oscar.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just a matter of time.
It goes to show you that a lot of this is subjective. We all have our own opinions, the people that we like, the ones that we pull to, and it's just a matter of which one is pulling towards a majority of the people.
I think that's important to keep in mind with all of this stuff, and no matter what the award show or anything, it is not only subjective, it is political.
Oh, absolutely.
It is so, you got so many, I've heard the phrase "never meet your heroes," and I've been very spoiled. I was telling Laura about this. I've been very spoiled that most of the people I look up to that I have gotten the chance to meet, cool people. I can't stop. These two are so sick of hearing me talk about Colin Mockery. I can't stop talking about how cool he was and how great he was to me and everything. But I've actually felt that way, that phrase about the industry. Is I romanticize and I dreamed, and I don't romanticize much in my life. I'm a realist, and that's the way my brain works. But even I have been surprised by some of the things that I have found in the years that I've been doing this. The way that this production company has this much amount of money and these connections, so they're going to send gift baskets and all this to voters and all these things, and send special tapes to them, and it gets away from all of this to me about what it should. That's why I love the Screen Actor Guild Awards. To me, if I'm only going to watch one award show, which I kind of do, it's the guilds. It's the SAGs. Because to me, that is where peers are voting for peers.
Yeah.
Not to say there isn't still some politics involved and all of that.
Right.
But this is an imperfect thing. This isn't sports. And even in sports, you don't necessarily... Michael and I were talking about this. We're not sure we got the two best teams from the national championship in college. It happens all the time in sports and in this. You don't always see the best win. Samuel L. Jackson still deserves an Oscar for Pulp Fiction. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair.
Robin Williams should have won. I'm sorry.
All art is subjective.
It is.
And even when you're put in front of a board of artists voting on art, it's still subjective. And people aren't going to agree. That's the beauty of it.
Have you seen him in Good Morning Vietnam? How do you not give him, as soon as you walk out of the movie theater, give him an Oscar? Like, Mr. Williams, here you go. Here's your Oscar. Like, how did he not win an Oscar for that? How does Denzel not win an Oscar for Malcolm X? It's one of the greatest biopic of all time. It's the greatest biographical performance you will ever see. You will never see an actor do a better job playing a real human being than Denzel Washington playing Malcolm X. How he... I'm going to stop.
Maybe those Oscars are the friends we made along the way.
Best lead actress. I apologize. You guys will maybe get this right. Cynthia Erivo.
Erivo.
Thank you for Wicked. Carlos Sofia Garzcan for Amelia Perez. Mickey Madison for Anora. Demi Moore for The Substance. And Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here. Again, a two-horse race, a lot of people are saying, between Demi Moore and Cynthia.
Yeah.
And again, you can't go wrong with either one.
Honestly, for me, if Wicked gets anything, I want it to be that one.
Yeah. She did a phenomenal job.
She took a lot of heat for that role.
Yep. Yes.
And everybody shut up once they saw the movie.
Yep. Right.
I thought that was pretty cool, actually. I thought that was pretty cool.
If Wicked gets anything, I want it to be that one. If there's any justice in the Oscars.
And to wrap it up, we'll do it. Look at the Best Supporting Actor and Actress. Best Supporting Actor, Aurora Borsoa for Anora. Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain. Woo! Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce for The Brutalist. And Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. This one, nobody knows. Nobody knows who. I've seen the quote expert predict just about every one of these people winning. I personally am a big fan of Kieran Culkin, and I think it'd be really cool to see him win.
Right.
That is also who I'm pulling for.
Edward Norton, from everything I've seen of that movie, is just incredible as a folk legend.
Woody Guthrie?
Yes.
He played Woody Guthrie in A Complete Unknown. I love Edward Norton, I do, but I want it to be Kieran in this time.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Guy Pearce is amazing. And Guy Pearce, again, one of these actors I don't like. Ralph Fiennes just kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. But when you see them, you're like, my God, that's a great actor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Every time you see him, no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Strong, it's cool to see nominated. Yeah. I like Jeremy Strong. It's cool to see him nominated. Best Supporting Actress, Monica Barbeau for A Complete Unknown. Ariana Grande for Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. Isabel Rossellini for Conclave. And Zoe Saldana for Amelia Perez.
Please give it to Isabella Rossellini.
I'm feel the same way about Zoe Saldana. I like
Zoe
her
Saldana,
a lot.
But I love Zoe
Saldana. I like her a lot. I think that'd be great. None of this matters because it's going to go to Ariana Grande.
Ugh, that would make me really sad.
I teach their own but
no disrespect to people who are fans of hers. I just couldn't be me.
See, and I'm not a fan of her.
Yeah,
I give her props for pulling off the performance she did when Kristen Chenoweth had created such an iconic version of that role.
I stand by what I said, though. If anyone's going to get an award for Wicked, I hope it's not
Cynthia.
Ariana
Grande.
That's a great point, Beth. That's a really, really strong point.
She had big shoes to fill,
she stepped
up to it. Yeah. I'll give her that.
It's going to be exciting. We'll see. The Oscars will be in February. And I don't believe they have a host yet. I'm pretty sure they don't have a host yet, though.
We're available.
Yeah.
We're available.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
Oh, come on. We do great.
I'll produce. You two can host. I think that'd be fantastic.
They'd love it. Everyone would love it.
I love the idea of the Oscars every year, just bringing up community theater actors.
Yes.
Now that would get ratings.
There you go.
That would be fun, though. That would be like...
We just saved the Oscars, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No pimp slap needed for that. We'll get the ratings.
Absolutely.
And speaking of the Oscars, and arguably the greatest host they ever had, outside of Bob Hope, I would say, is Billy Crystal.
Yes.
And we go right to a Billy Crystal story.
Okay.
This year marks the 36th anniversary of When Harry Met Sally. Not really one of those milestones anniversaries, but it looks like something is happening. Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal both posted a photo of the two of them sitting on a couch together wearing clothing similar to their outfits in the movie. And Meg says, quote, "It's finally happening. We're reuniting for something iconic. I can't wait to show you all soon. There's no word yet on what we're waiting for." FYI, this was Billy's first Instagram post ever, by the way.
I'm not surprised.
gigantic fan of Mr. Crystal. One of the better influences most entertainers will ever have. And I think Meg Ryan has been underrated in her career.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a young Meg Ryan now. Where there's not as many boundaries and there's not as many typecastings and everything. Because I feel like Meg Ryan has shown in bits and pieces that she could do drama. In a weird way, and I know it's a reach to some people out here, but watch her performance as Selena Kyle. As Catwoman.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And when she is distressed, when she's first thrown out the window, Christopher Walken throws her and all this stuff and everything, the looks on her face and everything.
Isn't that Michelle Pfeiffer?
That's Michelle Pfeiffer I'm thinking
okay.
of. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm thinking another performance of Meg Ryan's, and I just got that one in my head because I was on another subject that we're coming up with.
Okay.
But yeah, Meg Ryan's got a couple of performances you see where, even in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, yeah.
She's got
some
drama in there.
the orgasm scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's legendary for a reason.
Yeah.
Iconic even.
Can we just take a second that the Reverend brought that up?
sure.
Because it's an iconic scene.
It is what it is.
I will say, as excited as I am that maybe, who knows, they're going to maybe do a sequel or something like that. We're right around the corner of the Super Bowl, and I wouldn't be surprised if
it's
this is for a Super Bowl ad. I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm just hoping it's something
they
bigger
did that
than
with
that.
The Home Alone thing, didn't they?
Yeah,
they did.
I wouldn't be. That's where my money would go, but there's no evidence of what the if there's something going on, these two have been on lockdown with
it. You know what? And movie theaters or movie producing companies are really looking for that next big thing that's going to draw people. Nostalgia gets people
doing it.
Bring it back and not just try to reboot series. See if you can get the original players, come up with a new
continuing story.
Yeah, we want to know what happened to those characters that we fell in love with in our youth.
We will take a quick break, check in with our news, sports, and our partners. We'll come back with just a little bit of entertainment news. And kids think these random things mean you're officially old. We will get into that coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. God, I love Simple Minds. I love this band so much. They like three songs, three hits, but I love one of them
they were
so
good.
Much.
They
so
were pretty good. Hits.
So good. God, I love the 80s. The music. Not the fashion. Not the fashion. I don't know what we were thinking.
I loved the
there
fashion.
There were some pluses and minuses in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a whole segment right there. We that is our next segment. The next time the three of us are together, we are diving into that segment.
80s fashion. Right. Got it.
There you go.
Just a couple of quick entertainment notes before we get into our feature story of the segment. Wanted to remind everybody that Post Malone has Oreos.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Malorios? Is that what you called them earlier? I love it.
Post it was so Malorios. Good.
You need to trademark that one.
I'm just going to give it away. Enjoy.
I haven't even read
Invite me to a party, Postie.
I did not pre-read this article, but I will tell you right now that they got this wrong because I didn't go with that
exactly.
name, Laura. That, you nailed that.
I do what I can.
We got to find a way for you to make a living. Just sitting in a room and just people walking in. Mm-hmm. I got like, this and this and give it a name.
Like, I'm gonna name it.
Yeah. Post Malone teamed up with Oreo and created his own cookie. It features the first ever twisted cream center. The cream is salted caramel and shortbread, and it's a sandwich between the typical chocolate cookie on the side and a golden cookie on the other.
Okay.
Each cookie will have one of nine embossed designs that include nods to his music, like a sunflower, a knight, a saw blade, etc. Post says, quote, I really wanted to create a flavor that shows how off my different sides that was important to me. He tried like 50 different combinations, and this is the one that they came up with.
Cool.
So part of the reason I think this this is cool already, just reading this off the top of my head, is that is that how they do this? Like, if you do a celebrity thing, you get to go in there and like pick it out.
That would be awesome.
I mean, that's awesome. Like, that's worth being a celebrity,
right?
That's worth fame. Like,
to be fair to other celebrities who have done this, it is very Post Malone to have asked for that in the contract.
I genuinely have never given a second thought about fame. I don't care one bit about it. I believe me or not, it just is one of the most silly things in the world to me, fame, and chasing it. I change everything I've ever felt about it if I could do this. I would claw and drag to get to fame just so that I can make my own Oreo.
Your own Oreo.
I've had it in my head. I've got it. Got the Oreo.
What is it?
First off, it's the same thing that he's thinking here with the two different cookies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But instead of a vanilla one, you've got one that is made of cookies and cream.
Okay, so it's a cookies and cream conception.
Yeah. But the cream is chocolate.
Okay.
And you dump chocolate all over it.
It's a chocolate covered Oreo, cookies and creamception Oreo.
But the wafers are cookies and cream.
Right.
It come on. That's amazing. That's an amazing cookie. You will never eat another cookie after that one. Never. Never.
Isn't the Oreo the cookie and cream in?
It is indeed. That's why I said that it's an Oreoception. It's an Oreo within an Oreo dipped in chocolate sold
very
by
meta.
Oreo.
Oh, I want it.
Very
so
meta.
I want it. These will be available for pre-sale at Oreo.com on Monday and will be hitting the shelves on February 3rd. They don't look bad. I would try that.
I wish that it was two vanilla wafers, to be honest, but I like it.
I like the combo there. And it's not just that it's two different wafers. It's two different creams inside. I think that's very unique.
Well, the salted caramel is, yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of the originals, are there any of that? You do have a favorite Oreo with these flavors or the thin ones or the double stuff? Do you have any kind of... And I asked the audience this as well, 715-424-2600.
I like the lemon ones. The lemon cream with the vanilla cookie. I like lemon desserts.
I'm a big fan of the fudge covered Oreos.
Yes.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
Very yummy. Yeah.
My favorite cookie is a chocolate covered Oreo. Easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hands down.
Yeah, I have a lot of Oreo fans in my home, and so we often have to buy different flavors. I think it's, what is it? Is it a cafe latte or a mochaccino or whatever coffee flavor? That's the one that my kids like the best.
Well, I'm thinking we may have to have you on as a special guest, Laura, for a Kitchen is Open segment of just taste testing different Oreo cookies.
Only if you get the Post Malorios.
Absolutely.
We haven't done a taste test thing in a while.
We really should bring that back.
We definitely got to.
Yeah, I'm down.
Next topic. Kids think these random things mean we're old. Yeah.
The gray hair in my head.
Can I just apologize to you two? When I was designing this, these two hours here, I did not intend to make us feel old in two different hours. Where it was last hour, we were talking about things that are, you know, 10 years old now, and this one. I apologize. I really didn't mean to do that.
No,
it wasn't intentional.
I interact a lot with kids, and over the last, like, 5 years, to every child I've ever spoken to, I have referred to myself as a dinosaur, so it's fine.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
part I would also like to apologize about, because I saw kids and I'm like, oh, I got two moms here. This would be great. So
that's
just
hilarious.
One more time, another man.
I think
man
James is just trying to call us old.
Laura. Going ahead and labeling you both. I'm so sorry.
How very dare you.
Yes, yes, I'm a horrible person. Has a kid ever called you old for something you didn't know was an old person thing? Here are some examples from social media. A kid, I think me just calling it social media right there is one of those things.
Yep.
It's one of
yep.
those things. A kid told someone that they were old because they were born in the 1900s.
Yeah, no, that's a common one.
Said, yeah, that
so that's
my mind.
Anyone over 24.
Right.
But it makes sense. It really does. I mean, we're a quarter of the way now through this century. So 1900s was last century. If you start using those terms, yeah, you're old.
Yeah.
A bunch of kids in her class freaked out when a teacher got called, or when a teacher told her students that she saw the original Shrek in movie theaters.
Oh my gosh. I told my kids that I got to see, like, I think it was Shrek 3 in theaters when it came out, and I was in, like, high school, and they're like, whoa.
Oh, try telling them that you saw E.T. at the drive-in,
yeah.
And then they look at you and go, what's a drive-in?
Oh, good.
Someone got called old by a kid because they used to have VHS tapes, and someone else got called old because they knew what a DVD was.
Oh, good.
Does that make us like dinosaurs because we still have the VCR?
As I said, I'm
and
ancient.
The DVD. I mean, I just watched a DVD in my home like 2 weeks ago.
I transcend time.
a kid called someone old because they were still using CDs in their car.
Come on. They can't afford all those newfangled car things.
Well, and to be fair, depending on your cell service, there are dead zones.
There are indeed.
And so if you want to have consistent music, that CD player is worth something.
It's true. That's true.
This one is actually a little bit, I think that this one, when we were kids, might have been said. A woman got called old because she had stamps in her purse. Like,
wow.
I feel like when we were kids, we might have called somebody old for that. So that one's still around. That one's still around.
And for my whole life, I've kept them in my office for just that reason.
Nice. A kid called a guy old because he said he used to play outside when he was young.
Oh, my God. Whoa, yeah. Wait. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
My kids play outside all the time.
Mine, too.
What?
Isn't that what kids are supposed to be doing?
I would like to have a stern talking to with that parent.
Yes.
A parent left someone a voicemail and their kid said only old people do that.
No, that's fair because truly only old people check their voicemails. So.
I can't argue with that one.
And business people.
To be fair, depending on what generation, because I know some octogenarians that don't even know how to access their voicemails.
Right.
So it depends on what version of old you're looking at here.
That's fair.
There is no quicker way to get mocked by my students than leaving them a voicemail.
There you
right.
go. Yep.
It happens
yep.
all the time.
Me.
And I refuse. I will die on this hill. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I want to make sure, especially when I'm talking about teaching, I want to mm-hmm. make sure that they're understanding
yep.
what they're asking and everything.
Yep.
So I will send a voice text, mm-hmm. You know, or something like that or whatever. I don't know. Another parent said that they found out they were old when their daughter called them out for still owning an iPod.
Okay. Come on.
So once upon a time, I had a very, very large iPod that I called the TARDIS because, you know, there were many things hidden inside of it, right?
Right.
It's larger
nice,
on the inside.
Nice.
Yes.
You're welcome. I don't even have that anymore. Like,
I found mine the other day.
And that's
I could still charge it and if I want to. And it was the one where, like, the second or third generation where it had the video screen.
Right.
And you could
watch
TV
shows. Oh, that was the cool one.
TV
I like that one. Yeah.
On
those ones were fancy, yeah.
I can still remember being so excited getting one because it was like a hand down.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even mine or anything.
Right.
It was the first thing I had ever had or whatever. And I just thought, oh, my God, I can finally walk around listening to my music and not worry about it skipping or any of those
right.
things. And then I realized how much music you could put on that thing. I found mine like 2-3 weeks. Oh, it was around Christmas. I found mine, and I was like, oh, I just put it in, and the playlist was like from 10 years ago or whatever. So I was catching up on songs I'd forgotten about and everything. I thought it was fun. I liked it.
It was a huge step up from the Walkmans that we used to have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And God, I loved a Walkman.
I know. Man,
that was like the one thing I asked for every Christmas. Yes,
the Discman was fine, but you had to go back to the Walkman because the Discman would skip when you were walking or riding a bike.
100%. A woman got called old because she still has a Hotmail address.
Oh, okay. Wait, no, I got an email from an AOL person.
I was just going to say, I will see your Hotmail and raise you an AOL because I have 3 AOL accounts.
Oh, and you know what? This is actually fitting. I don't normally say it like this. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for being sincere and not sarcastic.
Of course.
I will wholeheartedly own that I have a Hotmail address that I keep active, in part because it was my first email address. And it says it's Chicago's own. It's not Chicago's. It's not Chicago's own number 34. It's not Chicago's own 18. It's the first one, and I gotta hang on to that.
But I will tell you what, they are phenomenal for catching all the spam.
Yes,
you know, just I set up my AOL account, and that's the one that I use to give away when I know I'm gonna get spam from something. So if I'm on a website and I know that they're gonna keep sending things, I'm using an AOL account.
A guy's coworker told him he was old after he tossed something in a trash can from a few feet away and yelled Kobe when he went in.
Wow.
That's funny. That's funny.
I will have you guys know that I Kobe'd the crap out of a Kleenex in the last hour.
You did.
And nobody mentioned it on air.
Oh,
I gave you a thumbs up. No, you were reading.
You were busy doing your job.
Nice job. Nice shot. A guy's much younger cousin called him old for using the laughing crying emoji, the one stung. That one stung because he thought emojis made him cool and young.
Right. No, yeah, now they're aging our emoji usage. Yeah. Millennials use too many emojis, apparently, and so I get called old now for my gratuitous emoji usage.
I'm trying to think. It feels like this happens to me a lot, honestly, with my students and everything. But we also work in comedy, and it's ripe for the picking. You know, picking on age and stuff. And being honest, it's one of the few avenues that are kind of open for you nowadays. Mm-hmm. That you feel like you can do that. Although there is ageism in that, I understand. Oftentimes, we can make little rib each other about our ages. Right. That one seems like a safe zone for the most part.
I want audience participation here. Please call in with the things that you have that make you sound old, like when I refer to it as the pound sign instead of a hashtag.
That's a good example.
Pound sign this.
What's a pound sign?
I get called old just basically just being me, like my style, the way I talk. I mean, pretty much everything for me is from the 90s or early. At least that's young. I mean, actually might be even late 80s. I'm not sure.
It's very much I am cringe, but I am free thing when it comes to my age.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We will take a time out. We'll come back, wrap up the show, morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great Thursday out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Send a thank you to Beth for being with us. She had to cut out, but we appreciate you, Beth. Nice work today.
Woo!
Big thank you to all of our guests. Denise from the Southland County Humane Society.
Absolutely.
Had a great call earlier in the day. It's been a lot of fun. And nice job by you as well, Laura. Nice work.
Oh, good job to you too, James.
I was the only reason I complimented you was so you would compliment me.
No, right. That's why I made sure.
I'm kidding. We take a look at our good stories of the day, and we take take a look at our schedule as well. Diving right in, be sure to join us today for Midday Magazine. We got a great one lined up for you. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I wanted to, first off, make sure that you stick around, because in less than 10 minutes, you got Matt and Air on Air coming up with Jane and Greg.
Highly recommend. Love the show.
Great way to get ready for the noon hour. Lead you right into it. And then a little bit later today, join us for Midday Magazine from 4 to 5. In part one, our friends, Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina Hintner will be in. Always a fun time with them. And in part two, our good friend Laura Huber, 4-H program educator, is going to be with us from UW Extension and talk a little 4-H.
Love 4-H.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. We will, have the Greg Gard show for you on tonight at 6:05. We should be playing that for you. Be listening for the head Badgers basketball coach. Greg Gard's been a man about town. He's been being interviewed all over the place lately. It's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say, especially coming off of a loss that I think a game they could have won against UCLA. Sure. So it'd be interesting to hear what he has to say. And, of course, we want to dive into some local events going on. It is a Thursday, and there's a couple of events we always like to make sure to highlight on today. Laura, you got one of them.
I do indeed. The live music is back at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. The first and third Thursday of each month, you can catch Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor. Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor will bring back memories from yesteryear with their talented jazz sound and fun interpretation. It's a great time. It's free admission. Donations are accepted for the musicians, and support our local arts and our local musicians.
It's a great time, not only taking a great band, but one of the better MCs you will see in this area. Pete is just amazing. I love Pete. And a shout out to that band. Of course, Focus Neighborhood Meals are going on today as well, 2321 West Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Meals are served on Thursdays from 4:30 to 5:45. Dining room opens at 4:15. Their building will be open at 4. Entrance is through the pantry doors with a small waiting area for your convenience. If you have questions or want to know more about Focus or Neighborhood Meals, give them a call, 715-422-1980, 422-1980.
And then this weekend, the winter market is back on at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Beth gave us the hint of saying to be sure to check Facebook for the list of vendors that will be present at each one. They drop those on Fridays. So tomorrow, head to Facebook, check out what vendors will be there at the winter market at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. They are there every Saturday.
It's a great way to buy local, support our ag industry while also having a good time. It's a bit of a hub and a chance to run into people and talk and stuff.
It's very much a community activity, even more so than it is a market.
Do want to remind everybody that also going on programming-wise today from 5 to 6, we will have a special edition of Director's Playhouse. Mm-hmm. Not only our first one of the year, not only our first one with the new name and new branding, but boy, we come out the gate hot. We are talking about Hip-Prov, and we have Colin Mockery and Assad McKee joining us. I want to thank the boys for joining me yesterday on the phone here. It was a lot of fun. We had a little bit of issues with Colin's phone line, but we pushed through it and everything. The boy, if we were going to get them, this was it. This was the window they had, so we had to make it work. And the three of us were able to do that. And this is one of the also positives of working with improv artists. You can really work on around that stuff. We had a fun time spending the first half of the show really getting to know the guys. And I think some things that you may find really fascinating and interesting about Colin, be honest with you, and this is just between Laura and you and I and everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever been more nervous to ask somebody a question than one of the questions I asked Colin. Mm-hmm. And he knocked it out the park. He couldn't have been better about it. It was so good. Both of them were great. It's going to be a really fun show. Get your tickets at grandtheater.com for this Saturday's Hip-Prov, a combination of hypnosis and improv. And it is going to be a lot of fun.
Spectacular.
And be sure to join us today from 5 to 6 for Director's Playhouse, where Colin and Assad will be joining us to talk about Hip-Prov. Really fun time, everybody. Be sure to check that out. Going to be a good one. We also wanted to mention our good friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center have their Chefs for Change, a reimagining of the fundraiser event coming up. Chefs for Change is an exciting night that's going to begin at 5 with a cocktail hour while you bid on treasures in the silent auction and savor the appetizers from the competitive chefs. Dining and programming will begin at 6. This is going to take place at the Nakusa Community Center, and a shout out to them for hosting this. Tickets for Chefs for Change can be purchased at familyctr.org, familyctr.org. or you can give them a call at 421-1511, 421-1511. This is kind of a reimagining of Chefs in the Kitchen, one of the most popular events in our area, and certainly for our family center. The funding has been drastically cut for our domestic violence shelters around our country, around the whole country. This is an opportunity for us to help them get the funding that they so need. You would know if you did not have a family center in our area.
No, it's true. It's true. It is far more vital than people understand.
Encourage you to be a part of that, everybody, and thank you, everybody, who is already making plans to attend. Got some good stories from around the world we wanted to touch on. A guy pranked his grandma with a fake lottery ticket, but she ain't complaining because she scratched it off and found out she was getting a great-grandchild.
Oh, that's cool.
He told People magazine that she'd been begging to have a grandchild for 3 years. So, great. Well done. Like, very well done. I wish I would have thought of that. That's fantastic.
That's cute.
A wildlife photographer in Canada saved a goose that had an arrow stuck in its butt for over half a year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough goose.
Yeah.
He saw it over the summer and decided he was saving it no matter what. He tried to catch it a few times with a net, and it made out of a hula hoop, but that didn't work. So he got someone with a net gun and came in last week. They were able to remove it with the help of a vet and save this great goose. That's a great
name. Very cool. Good on you, goose. And good on you, dude, for saving the goose.
And good on you. Nice show, Laura.
Yeah, same to you.
You guys, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate the time. We'll get together tomorrow. We'll have CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johnson, with us. We'll get you ready for the weekend, getting the band back together. That should be a lot of fun. We're going to be looking forward to that. Tomorrow, we will also, of course, not only be celebrating the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club for Friday, but Saturday and Sunday as well. And we'll have our star of the day. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.